Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Before we jump into this soulful episode, I want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by my accredited program, Ayurveda Alchemist. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda holistic health coach. Ayurveda Alchemist is for women who are ready to embark on an epic personal development journey, immersing themselves in the wisdom of Ayurveda, learning how to optimize their health and well-being by addressing all aspects of self, including their physical body, mental and emotional health, and spirituality, whilst wholeheartedly stepping into their dharma, their purpose. This program is also for women who would love to get started with a fulfilling career in Ayurveda, and for already established health, wellness, and life coaches who want to create greater impact by offering a holistic framework that gets their clients exceptional and holistic results. This certification is what you need to step into the high-level practitioner that you were born to be and stand out from the coaching crowd. You will experience undeniable growth personally and professionally. You will be mentored by highly qualified facilitators, guest experts, and practitioners. Spots are strictly limited. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the lives of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to www.harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to everybody in the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood Facebook community. And if you're not in there, get in there, guys. We can carry these conversations on long after we have finished them. So if you're a podcast listener, welcome, welcome, welcome. Love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening. Today, we've got a really cool episode for you guys. It's all about how to reconnect to your goddess energy and your feminine power. And to help me out with this topic, I have the wonderful Lisa Marie Rankin, who is an author and an Ayurvedic wellness coach. She specializes in supporting women in midlife to embrace aging as a time of vitality and new beginnings. Her book, The Goddess Solution, helps women rediscover their feminine power through goddess archetypes so that they can thrive in all areas of their lives. She lives in Lexington, which I had to ask where that was, which is outside of Boston, with her two children, a dog and a rabbit. And in her free time, she enjoys hiking, snorkeling, and spending time with Mama Nature. So welcome to the podcast and to the Facebook community, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this discussion.
So am I. I've become so much more interested into the mythology of the goddess powers from a Vedic point of view. And I've actually been teaching it in my Ayurveda Alchemist program this year. And it's been so powerful because I feel that it is something we can really tap into that energy when we understand the underlying archetypes of those energy and how we actually possess all those beautiful qualities. It's just that sometimes we haven't taken the time to see it within ourselves. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. But before we get deep into that, I always start my episodes off with my rapid inspiration questions. So first of all, can you please inspire us with your superpowers?
My superpowers. I think one of them is creativity. I often say, like, I feel like I'm the creativity. Love, maybe love, sex, creativity. I think I can really kind of bring new things to life. And I really enjoy that. So I would say my new superpowers is to kind of create something from nothing.
Yeah, love it. It is a superpower. And who or what is inspiring you at the moment?
Right now, I actually just launched a Divine Feminine Immersion program with a group of women, and the women are really inspiring me. We met last night for a book discussion, and we really have women from all different demographics and coming from different viewpoints, different generations, and just the way they come together to discuss these concepts, which could be a little bit polarizing sometimes, but just to be able to see them be so open-minded, witness one another, and to really kind of embrace sisterhood too. So one of the things that I want to work on, and this is something I've had to work on too, is healing that sister wound too, where women sometimes are a little bit apprehensive of one another. So really just the women in my community are really inspiring me.
Amazing. And do you have a favorite quote or mantra?
My favorite quote or mantra. Well, one of my favorite mantras was just one. It's one that I had actually when I was in the corporate world, but it continues to, I continue to use it. And I had it on a post-it note right in my cubicle. And it was breathe, smile, let go. Kind of anytime I was triggered, kind of just, okay, this is okay. We can breathe, smile, let it go, and kind of come back to the present moment, come back to the body, and it's okay.
I love that. It's so simple, but so real. For any moment. Yeah, beautiful. So you just mentioned that you were in the corporate world. So share a little bit about your story, how you went from the corporate world to running Goddess Immersions and Ayurveda wellness coaching.
Sure. I mean, it's interesting. I was in the corporate world for most of my adult life. So for about 23, 24 years or so. And, you know, for the most part, I liked it. I would say the last 10 years, I was getting a little bit less inspired, but I had always been interested in spirituality. I've always been interested in yoga. From that, I knew about Ayurveda. So that was kind of always like my hobby. And I always kind of wanted to get into it, but I had two children. I was a single mom. And I'm like, well, how do I make that shift? So I decided to leave work, and I was thinking it was going to be about a 6-month sabbatical, and I would get a job closer to home. And I just wanted some time to spend with my family. And I started a blog about goddesses and just their impact on my life. So I had recently gone through a divorce. So, you know, I talked about how I felt that energy was really the goddess Kali breaking down things for me to live more authentically. I talked about goddess Lakshmi, about just dealing with the financial repercussions of a divorce. And I posted these on Medium, and I had a regular series, and an editor from HarperCollins found my blog, and she was like, I love your blog. Would you like to write a book? And I was like, yes, of course. You know, I would love to do that. And I think that was kind of a turning point where it's like, oh, maybe I can actually follow my passions. And I should have been able to do that anyways, but that was kind of, I think, the push that I needed. So I ended up really just going all in. I had enrolled in Shakti School, which is a Divine Feminine Ayurveda school with Katie Silcox, if you're familiar with her, and which is all about Divine Feminine Ayurveda. And I really just immersed myself in so much of the teachings and just really dove in. And that was about 4 years ago. So like I said, I always had a working knowledge of a lot of these concepts because I applied them a lot to my own life, but it was really just that opportunity where I went all in. And I think that's great. But I would also encourage people that you also don't need to wait for all of those signs. Like I did get, I find myself that was very fortunate that an editor happened to come across my blog. But part of that is like putting yourself out there. Like I had wanted to write a blog for 10 years before that, and I never did. So I do believe that once we start like following that sense of like bliss, as Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss, and we start to walk into the direction of the things that turn us on and light us up, doors do start to open.
Absolutely. When we are on our dharmic path, those synchronicities, they really start to align and show up, and we become more aware of them because we're more open.
Yeah.
We know that, yeah, we're here for that greater, bigger purpose. And we just become aware to those signs, even if the universe has been like trying to give them to us for a while, but often we're in our ignorant stage and we can ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lovely story. I really enjoyed that. Thank you for sharing. So when you talk about goddess energy and feminine power, what are you referring to? Because I think everyone has a real different understanding of this concept, and we can link feminine power to like strong feminism, goddess energy as just something bigger than us. And everyone has their own perception of what goddess energy and feminine power means to them. So I would love to hear it from your perspective.
Sure. And we've been having this conversation in my community a lot. I mean, one of the shorter answer is that sense of authenticity. Like, I think, you know, we can scroll through social media and, you know, look at divine feminine, sacred feminine stuff, and these like beautiful young girls in flowy dresses on beaches. And that's definitely a part of it, right? Like there's a part of like just beauty and fertility and creativity, but there's also a lot more. The divine feminine, in my view, it's also aging, it's death, it's tornadoes, it's hurricanes, it's destruction. It's all of that wild, uncontrollable things that we don't have any control over. It's the transitions, it's the seasons changing. So it's nature. So if we think about, you know, the word Shakti, it's power. It's that sense of this uncontrollable power to some extent. And that's what I love about working with it. It's like we start to realize that we're not separate from nature, but we're a part of it. And that's why we, you know, try to align with the seasons, and we don't eat strawberries flown in from God knows where in the middle of the winter, but we try to eat seasonally and locally, and we honor the seasons and the rhythms of our body. So it's really, for me, remembering that we're not separate from nature, but a part of it. And it's not just the pretty receptivity, creativity, but it's also aging, destruction, change.
Hormones, all the things.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And that is, though, but we can think of that even as uncomfortable as it feels. That's Shakti power. It's transformation.
Yeah, exactly. And not thinking that everything has to be perfect all of the time for us to be in our goddess energy, because as we'll go into later, like a lot of the Vedic goddesses, they have a lot of polarity about them. They have the destruction and they have the beauty and the peace. And that's what I love about this type of work, is really understanding the qualities. It's like Ayurveda. When we talk about the elements, we're not just talking about fire as in fire. We're talking about the qualities of those elements and how we possess them. And that's exactly the same with Vedic goddess energy. It's like the qualities of those goddesses, we have them too. How can we dig deeper to either activate them or to honor them, to understand them, so that we can step into our higher self? So how do you see Ayurveda and the goddess energy connection? How, I know you've spoke about being, you know, part of nature, and that is all Ayurvedic terminology that you were using, but how else do you see Ayurveda connecting to goddess energy?
Sure. Well, I think that is a big part of it. Like, I feel that Ayurveda really provides us with a beautiful roadmap for connecting to the divine feminine, whether it's aligning to the seasons, reconnecting with your better and knowing how to care for it, and even just the Ayurvedic principle. So I don't know how deep your audience goes, but when we think of like balance in the doshas, like increases like and opposites balance, it's kind of thinking, if we want more creative energy, then we need to do more creative things. You know, it's more, I think we can work with the goddess archetypes the same way that we work with the doshas, as far as like you said, understanding their qualities and characteristics, and then thinking like, okay, if I want to bring more love into my life, like what is going to feel more loving? How do I act more loving? How do I eat in a more loving way? But it's really kind of thinking of those, the qualities and the characteristics, and kind of managing it just like the doshas, which are also archetypes.
Absolutely. And what would you say is one of the biggest misconceptions that people have about goddess energy and the feminine power?
So I think I kind of touched on this. I think a lot of it is like, it's receptivity, it's nurturing, it's generosity, it's creativity. And I think those are all aspects of it. But I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that, sometimes it doesn't feel good. It's transition, it's change. It's kind of the moth going into the cocoon, turning into the butterfly, or the caterpillar into the cocoon. But it's it's not always pretty and it's not always comfortable. And there's also too that sense of power. The goddesses are ferocious as well. So it's not just that sense of receptivity. It's that sense of boundaries, the sense of standing in your truth as well too. So the goddess, you know, as they say, it has a thousand faces. And I think sometimes, especially like whether it's on social media, we see a few of the faces, but it's just, it's so much more than that.
It really is. It really is about tapping into that authenticity of who you are at the heart of things, isn't it? And just being able to stand in your truth, stand in your power, and yeah, and just be, let every part of you be seen, but also in a really honorable way. Yeah, there is, I think there are a lot of misconceptions about what that feminine power is, because I think a lot of people, you know, when we think of feminine versus masculine, the yin, the yang, you know, it's the lunar and the moon, the sun cycle. And they think of it as being like more easygoing and going with the flow and soft and like all of that sort of yin type of energy. But that is not, if you think about all of the feminine people, and, you know, men have feminine sides too. So it's not like a sex thing, but when we do think of it in sexual orientation, as in males and females, like women, all women aren't like that. Like there is so many elements to femininity and the feminine power and what makes that feminine power that are overlooked. And when we say balancing it with the masculine, you know, masculine's more order, more structure, more like strong, but it doesn't make the feminine weak either. It's about understanding both of those. Yeah,
it's the polarities, and they complement each other very well too. And it's interesting, and with saying that, like that the feminine is also fierce and destructive and powerful, I also work with a lot of women who do have a challenge tapping back into that receptivity, nurture, and creativity. Because in our culture, whether it's the educational system, the corporate system, healthcare system, we have to have our masculine hats on a lot of the time, where it's like, you know, we have to set our goals and our milestones. And we think point A to point B, that we have lost, a lot of us have lost that connection to more of that flowing femininity. Like I'm going to approach something with curiosity because it feels good, because I'm interested in it. And it doesn't have to mean that, you know, this masculine approach is kind of like climbing up a ladder. It's very linear, it's very structured, where the feminine is more like a jungle gym and there's more an opportunity to creativity and explore. So I think that there probably is some learning for many women too, to kind of tap back into that aspect of their feminine. And it was for me too. Like I said, I was in the corporate world. I'm very type A. So for me too, it's that reminder, like, okay, how can I take a lighter approach? Like, what would this feel like if I approached it with more ease?
Absolutely. And I'm exactly the same. And I've really, this year in particular, I've really had to lean more into my feminine energy and that goddess energy. And I think that's why I got so intrigued with learning more about the mythologies of the goddesses this year, is because I knew it's something that I had to do just to soften and to just to let go and to allow that flow and to the trust that state as well. And for me, doing that, you know, it was a bit of a transition, because I can be quite goal oriented, structured, routine. Mm-hmm. And like, I need that. I'm a Vata Pitta. So I do need that for my constitution. But at the same time, like when I really did start to lean into that more feminine energy, I felt less anxious, because I wasn't trying to keep up with modern society's masculinity. I was like allowing myself to be me and to really just step into both sides of me, really, which is that feminine spirituality. I love all the flowy, beautiful dresses and fashion and all of these things, and my creativity side. I love all of that. I run programs. I'm very creative. I create all the content myself. But I also have that strong structure and masculine side as well. And just being okay with both of those, because That is me, not trying to hide one, not trying to just be one, not trying to dominate in one area, but allowing both states where I need it to be, not always having to be the quote unquote strong one, which is something that I had been told growing up, you know, you are the strong one, you are the strong one. So it's like this persona that I took on, but allowing myself to soften has been a really beautiful blessing. And I think that also sometimes it comes with age as well, where we realize we don't have all these things to prove to anyone but ourselves, and in this time, and just allowing this life to be a blessing and to be truly who we want to be and who we are.
Yeah. And that's a good point. I actually think a lot of that does come with age as well too, just kind of the sense of wisdom, where I think that there's this inner calling to turn back inward, kind of remember yourself, and I think just maybe just take a more feminine approach. I think it's kind of this natural calling. I run a book club with Women Who Run with the Wolves once or twice a year, and it's just amazing, you know, the beautiful community of women. And it's, there's something even just about that book. I've had women who are like, I've never even heard of the book, but it, like, there's like almost a calling to kind of reconnect with like that wild woman and that more of that feminine primal essence.
Yeah, I've got that book, and I wasn't ready to read it when I got the book, because I heard so many raving reviews about it. It's such a famous book, and I started reading it and I was like, it's boring. I'm a learner. Like, I infuse all of the information and wisdom and learner. And although it had really powerful messages, the first few stories, I just couldn't get into it. But it's funny you mentioned it, because I've been thinking, it's packed away in boxes. We're at the moment renovating our house, but we should be moving back in soon. So I've been thinking so much about that book, and I've been thinking about, now is the time when I unpack my life and all my boxes. I feel like I really need to read that book, and I don't know why. I can't even remember. I just remember it having some short stories. I only read a few, very few, but I just, it's been calling me. So it's really funny that you mentioned that today.
Yeah, it's interesting. So many women have said this, like, I've had this book for years and I couldn't get into it. And then, you know, then they want to read with group or community. But I think there is something about that book that it does, there's like a calling to read it, and it will come to you if you know. Yeah,
exactly. So talking about the goddesses from a Vedic perspective, As I mentioned, I have been teaching the goddess energies in the Ayurveda Alchemist program, which is my accredited certification program to become Ayurveda and women's holistic health coaches. So we take a really holistic approach, and this year I thought it would be amazing to dive deeper into these goddess qualities so that the women can really embody them for themselves. And I love teaching it so much. So I just wanted to share with our listeners the seven goddesses that I speak about. I mean, there is many, many more. But the seven goddesses that I speak about in the program, and I would love from your perspective for you to tell me at the end, what goddess are you resonating with or calling in those energetic qualities within yourself at the moment? So the first one we spoke about was Saraswati. I love Saraswati. Mm-hmm. She is the goddess of knowledge and art and music and creativity. And I've really had to call on the Saraswati energies in my own life. I'm studying master's degree in applied science for acupuncture. And just when I'm creating course content, and every time before I lecture and teach, I really call on this quality, and I know I have it within myself. So I feel strongly connected to Saraswati. She represents that creative energy that flows through us and inspires us to learn, create, and express ourselves. So I think she is just such a beautiful goddess to resonate with. And then Lakshmi, you mentioned Lakshmi before. She's the goddess of wealth and prosperity, and she represents the abundance and prosperity that is available to us when we align with that flow of the universe. And then we have Durga, which is the goddess of strength and protection, and she represents the power and resilience that we can access when we face challenges and adversity. In Ayurveda, Durga is associated with that fire element that we were talked about talking about, which represents that transformative and purifying qualities of the universe. And Kali, who you mentioned as well, is that goddess of destruction and creation. She represents the transformative power of change and the cycles of life and death. And I guess even maybe from your perspective, we'll talk about later about the cycles of our womanhood, you know, going from adolescence, getting our first period to menstruation, to perimenopause, through to menopause. Like these are all cycles that we go through, and we can call on these, the Kali energy within us to help us move through these cycles. And then there's Parvati, which is the goddess of love and devotion. She represents that unconditional love and devotion that we can cultivate in our relationships and in our spiritual practice. And Tara is the goddess of compassion and healing, representing the healing power of compassion and the ability to alleviate suffering. And you know, we've all been there where we've had to call on this energy so that we can suffer with humility and honor and know that it's okay, and we will get through that suffering. And then Gayatri is the goddess of divine light and wisdom, and she represents the illumination and wisdom that we can access when we connect with the divine. So I would love to hear from you, out of all of these goddess powers that I've spoken about, which one are you most resonating with at the moment or calling in, and why?
Well, it's interesting. It's for me, it's also very much Saraswati, because I'm constantly learning something new, and I'm also constantly creating something new as well too. So I have a little statue of Saraswati. I've written a lot about her, and it's a goddess that I can very relate to. But I will say that one of them, and I shouldn't say I have a favorite goddess, but I love Parvati, and I love the devotion to both a relationship and your spiritual devotion. Because I also write a lot about how I do believe that our relationships are spiritual assignments. And I think that there can be a lot of growth and a lot of evolution in our relationships. I mean, they really show us mirrors of where we need to heal. And for, so to me, that is also a spiritual practice. I actually have a little statue of Parvati right there on my altar too, because she's actually been a big one for me, especially, just in my relationship history, you know, dealing with anxious attachment, being kind of being able to kind of cultivate a sense of sovereignty while also being in relationship to one, I think has been part of my journey, and Parvati has helped with that.
Absolutely. And you know, what I teach my students is, yes, these are goddess mythologies from the Vedic times, Vedic texts. But these mythologies are there because they're actually all within us. They're not goddesses outside of us. They're personas of what we already possess. And so we can activate any part of those energies within ourselves. We can call upon those. We can do different things to bring that feeling or that essence of that goddess within us to help us at any stage of our life. So the power really is within you, and you are the goddess. We don't have to, I guess, for a better word, I don't know, worship Saraswati. She is the goddess over there. We are Saraswati. We are Gayatri. We are Tara. You know, we are all of these things. So how can we activate and tap into that energy? And I would love to ask you, like, how do you recommend people start to tap into their goddess energy?
Sure. I think one is learning about their myth, and then just kind of feeling like when you're reading about the myth, like, how does that feel to you? And like, how are you relating to that? And then also thinking of the quality. So I actually just had a client this morning where we were working with archetypes, we were working with the lover archetype, and kind of considering like, okay, well, what does that lover like look like in you? And, you know, starting to get a dialogue with it. So to your point, it's within us. So I believe that even, you know, for example, I'll always say like, I can connect with Saraswati or Parvati. Durga, I don't love confrontation. I don't love conflict, but sometimes I need to, right? Because I'm in this human experience and there's confrontation and conflict. So it's remembering these myths, remembering that we have our weapons. I think you can journal it, but I also think it's a more embodied experience. Like, so what would it feel like to be Durga. So maybe that's doing some, you know, strong yoga, yoga postures, or maybe it's going to the gym, but it's kind of exercising. Like, what would that feel like in my body to be like taking up space, to be rooted in my power? So for example, with my client this morning, we were trying to cultivate more of that lover archetype. You know, we're like, what's rituals, I believe, connect us to these archetypes. And it's like, well, what could be a ritual you could do to remember the lover within you? And she's like, well, I used to like to dance, but I don't really do that anymore. And it's like, okay, could we make that a daily ritual where it's like dancing, and you can almost do it as like, okay, this is my offering to the goddess. This is my offering to the lover. So it's really kind of connecting with the qualities. And if you can create a ritual around that and do it with intention, like, I'm going to go to my weight training exercise today, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to offer this practice to Durga, you know, thinking of what you want. So I also like to think, because I can be very cerebral and read and write all day, but I do feel that we have to somehow bring it back into the body. And we can do that through ritual, and whether it's dancing or weights or, you know, some sort of meditation or breath work, but kind of bringing the qualities back into the body. Mm. And I know that was kind of all over the place, so, but meditating on the goddess, you know, kind of dialoguing with it, but then ultimately, like, if you want to call the goddess into your life, you need to start acting like her too. So what are the little things that you can do to start emulating those qualities, those characteristics?
No, I think that's perfect. I think that's sort of exactly how I explain it, is you want to embody those goddess qualities within you. And to embody those qualities, you need to first ask yourself, what would that look like? How would I need to show up? Yeah. How would that feel in my heart, in my soul, in my body, in my mind? And then be that person, be that goddess. Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah, no, that's
exactly
perfect answer. I love that. Now I want to speak more about your book, The Goddess Solution, and the archetypes that you have discovered through writing your book, The Goddess Solution. So can you take us through your archetypes?
Sure. So I don't, the archetypes within me, or just archetypes from the book, or?
From the book. Yeah.
From the book. So yeah, I haven't discovered any of them, but I consider all of these goddesses like different archetypes. So there's the goddesses of creativity, like we've discussed, abundance, sexuality, there's beauty and pleasure, there's laughter. I really love the goddesses of like laughter and humor, because I don't think we think about that. I think we've gotten very serious sometimes, especially in our like personal development or spiritual pursuits. And I think that there's that element of, we can laugh about it too. We can have fun. We can be silly. We can be bawdy. So I particularly like those goddesses as well. Goddesses of strength, transformation, getting through challenging times. So the way my book is, it's divided basically with those categories. And then there's about three goddesses within each of those categories for what is it that you need to call in more. And we can look at these different archetypes, where I'll explain the characteristics, the qualities, and maybe some practices to reconnect with those qualities within you.
Amazing. Awesome. So yeah. I know, you know, we spoke about how we can tap into the goddess powers and energies, and to feel it and see it. But if you were going to give our listeners just one task today that they were going to go and do this evening from where you were from, or Australia, I'm the morning time. So either this evening or this morning, just one ritual, one task, one thing that, you know, really sparks that feeling of I am goddess.
So I think, I mean, one of the rituals which I really recommend, and I'm sure you do as well, to people from Ayurveda is Abhyanga. Mm. So anointing yourself, oiling your body, maybe listening to some beautiful mantra music, but really thinking of your body as this divine creation, and like what you can do to be the devoted caretaker, right? So if we are the goddess, which I totally believe that we are, like you said, we have a responsibility to care and nourish our body, because it's our temple. And I think one beautiful practice is Abhyanga, to remember our divinity.
Absolutely. And Abhyanga is such a beautiful practice, because you can incorporate so many other things into that, like really using all of the essential senses that you have within you. So oiling, like warm oiling your body, massaging yourself, getting in touch with the femininity of feeling your body and being with yourself, and also playing those beautiful mantras or the goddess. I've got a goddess playlist on Spotify, and it's so beautiful to do Abhyanga to that and just really feel into that energy as you're really nurturing yourself, you know, bringing that title of goddess in. And like you said, the sexuality, the caring, the all of the things, the strength, the setting the boundaries with yourself and others, and just independence and being with yourself in that moment. And I think it's such a beautiful practice that you can do in solitude that really does help you tap into that goddess energy. And as you know, like Abhyanga is amazing for women transitioning into menopause. It's really beautiful to help calm the central nervous system. So that is also going to help manage the Vata dosha and our balance our hormones and just really tap into having a moment with ourselves. So yeah, I love that. Love that one.
It's such a beautiful, I know. I'm like, oh, I feel like doing that now.
I know. I'll be under right after this. And for those who have not heard of the word Abhyanga, which I'm pretty sure most of you have, but if you haven't, Abhyanga is you can do a self oil massage. So it's just massaging your own body with oil. Oil is really nourishing for the skin and the mind. And you can obviously get an Abhyanga, like an Ayurvedic Abhyanga from a therapist, but self Abhyanga is doing it yourself every day. That's what Abhyanga is.
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful practice. I really encourage everyone to try it. Even if you're like, you want me to put oil all over my body, it can be truly life transforming.
Oh, it's
and it's a beautiful goddess practice.
Absolutely. And I love Nasya as well, which is oil up the nose. That's beautiful. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much. This has been such a beautiful conversation. I really do love talking about this stuff. So do you have any final goddess words for us? Anything you would love to share?
I think for some of the final goddess words, and it's really reiterating a point that you make, is that the goddess isn't a deity outside of yourself, but she's an aspect of your highest self. And we have all of these qualities within us. So, and I think, you know, for women and in our culture, we've been trained, and I do see the shift, not to always look outside for whether it's external validation, like if I had the job, the partner, the clothes, or a certain weight, then things would be okay. And I think part of reconnecting to the divine feminine is being okay with, well, one, who you are exactly as you are right now, and just remembering like your true divinity and how powerful that you actually are. So there's that sense of sovereignty as well. So just remembering that, maybe just meditating on your own divinity, I think is just such a beautiful practice.
Amazing. And with your book, The Goddess Solution, where can our listeners get a copy?
Amazon and probably other online book retailers within Australia. But I think, and you probably have listeners from all over, but I would say Amazon would be a good place to start.
Amazing. And where can our listeners connect to you and find you?
They can find me on my website, so lisamarierankin.com, or on Instagram, lisamarie.rankin.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed having you on the podcast and also live streaming in the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood. So if you're not in there, if you're listening to this on podcast, come and join us in the community. And if you're interested in learning more about Ayurveda and the feminine, women's health, please reach out. I do offer an amazing program called Ayurveda Alchemist, and that is an accredited certification so that you become an Ayurveda holistic health coach. And you can go and create greater impact in your own life and many, many, many other lives by sharing your knowledge with the world. So thank you so much, everybody. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episode you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.